Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008. Should they be postponed? Is it dangerous? Why are we going this route? Sanusha Naidu, Senior Research Associate at the Institute for Global Dialogue. A very good morning again. How are you?
I'm well, Howard. How are you?
I am well, thank you. So, has a decision been made about the local elections yet? Where are we?
No. Well, I think where we are currently, what we saw yesterday was a recommendation by the former Deputy Chief Justice, Moseneke. After listening to a number of evidence and submissions made to the inquiry about whether the election or whether the local government election can be held in October, and what he had said at the beginning of that report and that press briefing was that it was a recommendation that's not binding on the IEC. So now the IEC has to make a decision, based on the recommendation that the former Deputy Chief Justice had made in the report, which suggests that the election on in October, the local government election in October, cannot be held due to the fact that it won't be free and fair. And one of the key issues that the Deputy Chief Justice had mentioned is that the assessment was done after consulting a number of different stakeholders, but also based on the science of the issues. In other words, saying the probabilities in terms of where we'd be in October in the context of the landscape and the lockdown measures and the science of the pandemic versus where we'd be in February next year, and perhaps with the vaccination process gaining momentum and more people getting vaccinated, therefore leading us towards herd immunity, but also the probability that the landscape would be less volatile, if that's the right word to use, in terms of the pandemic. So at the end of the day, the ultimate decision rests with the IEC. They have to make a choice of how they're going to go forward. They don't have much time, so it has to be really fast. And I think when I listened to the CEO of the IEC, Glenn Mashinini, he actually said that the option that they have is to approach the Concord, because they can't go to Parliament and ask Parliament to essentially make a provision in changing the constitution in this regard. That could be a permanent feature. And I think what they're asking for is an extrajudicial review as an application to the Concord. But again, you know, the challenge is once you start doing this, you know, where how do you make sure that you don't remain in the gray area and the murky, uncharted territory of what would become a kind of precedent that sets into the democracy that we don't want to have the election now. We feel this is the crisis, or that's the crisis, or this is the... So there's a serious consideration that the IEC has to make in terms of where do they go now, and whether or not they assume that the recommendation made by the former Chief Deputy Justice is something that they would implement. So in other words, the question is, are they going to postpone the election? If they make the decision that they're going to do that, the question is, how do they go about doing it?
And of course, the other question is how do they, the messaging here is so important, because we are a country that is very, very nervous about protecting our democracy. We've seen our democracy coming under a threat with Jacob Zuma and the ANC over and over again, even more so in the last couple of months. Any postponement of an election will carry with it, either even if it's just conspiracy theories, but it will carry with it a tremendous amount of anxiety around the state of our democracy. That said, I do believe that the IEC has a very good reputation, as does our judiciary, which hopefully will give people comfort in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, I think the challenge, or the inherent challenge in this regard, is to what extent the decision the IEC makes will impact on the broader political landscape and body politics. The statement that I think our democracy has always been fragile. It's never been a fully consolidated democracy. It's been fragile for a number of reasons. It's been fragile in the context of the PR system, the electoral system, in the way that the electoral system actually takes this kind of the winner-takes-all kind of approach, the proportional representation, where first past the post, you know, they get the biggest share of the pie in terms of how much of votes they get at the polls. And the second thing is we don't really do direct elections. We don't directly elect our candidates, our president. We essentially elect parties, and then parties make a decision on our behalf on who should lead the country. And so that's so there's another parallel process here that is happening with the Home Affairs Minister and the panel that he has convened in reviewing the decision by the Constitution by the Constitutional Court around the role of independent candidates contesting the national election in 2024. Now, that process is happening, and I think people like Bali Musa are part of that process as well. Now, this is a once-off decision. The decision based on whether or not, on the basis of probabilities, the election can be carried out free and fair. We normally look at free and fair in terms of, you know, a very narrow kind of interpretation. We say people were not, there was intimidation, people were not allowed to go and vote, there was violence. I mean, this has been, when we talk about the definition of free and fair, we have a very kind of parochial interpretation of it, that it was some kind of set of factors that didn't allow people to exercise their vote. In this case, I think free and fair is also about not prejudicing political parties in carrying out their political activities, their election, launching of their election manifestos, their electoral politics, their door-to-door campaign, their activities. So you don't want to prejudice them in terms of what the Electoral Act says that political parties and other political stakeholders or independent candidates can do in the run-up to the election in order to canvass for themselves and for their political party. So I think that's an important point to make. On the issue of whether this is something that we have to be careful of, I think political parties like the DA have been adamant in their statement and reaction yesterday to say that, you know, you set a precedent, and now how do we make sure that this precedent doesn't become an overarching precedent that every time that there's some level of probability, you go into this raid. I think the issue here, which as one analyst I think said recently, was that maybe the Deputy Chief Justice actually knew the judicial system better. He knew, or obviously he did, and knew maybe that one of the options, and this is just me playing some of the options that may not need to go to court to decide whether to approach the court to actually have the election postponed to February 2022 is to maybe come to some kind of consultative agreement with the political stakeholders, with the political parties, and say to them, is it not possible that let's avoid this thing about going to the court or the judiciary
and
to resolve.
And rather reach consensus. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sanusha, I do need to leave it there. Unfortunately, Sanusha Naidu, Senior Research Associate at the Institute for Global Dialogue, having a conversation about the impact of the postponement, the possible impact of the postponement of the local election.